The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
Schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strongwriter on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. That's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along.
Yeah. My mind's made up to learn about songwriting and about life from an American girl. How you doing, everybody? My name is Dean Olson. I am the Strongwriter on the radio, and it is my job on this show to keep songwriters and artists musically fit. And the way I love to do that is through faith and encouragement, by learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you. And I just had the pleasure, the joy, and the honor to feature a very special independent singer-songwriter, recording artist. Her name is Cindy Alexander. She's from right here in Los Angeles. And since 1999, she has been putting out albums. She has about 7 right now and still going strong, of the most incredible pop, rock, soul, folk music, you name it, whatever it is. It is the songwriting and her beautiful and amazing voice that touched my heart, and I want to share her with you for the next few episodes, and you're going to discover why I find her so charming and wonderful as an artist and as a person. Go check her out on her website, and you're going to find all kinds of great information, including the album that came out in October of 2015 that we'll be talking about, called An American Girl. And the place to go for that is www.cindyalexander.com. I think you know how that's spelled. But I will have information on strongwriter.com as well. And now, I invite you to listen in as I learn a thing or two or three from this wife and mother, breast cancer survivor, and award-winning singer-songwriter and recording artist, Cindy Alexander. And I'll talk to you right afterwards. Here we go.
Yes, it was.
Okay, there she is right there. Let me give you a nice introduction. I have the most incredible opportunity to feature an amazing artist with a dynamic and expressive spirit. This is singer-songwriter, recording artist, Cindy Alexander, and she's on the phone with me. How are you doing today, Cindy?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Strongwriter Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I had a really rough morning, as I told you before. My child left her backpack at home, so I rushed to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I got home, and I poured myself a cup of coffee, which I hadn't had yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one of these poor man's Tempur-Pedic beds.
Oh, you know,
like,
yeah.
The imitation version, but it's great. It's awesome.
Oh, great.
And there's this little button, and you can hit it, and it says zero gravity.
Oh, yeah?
And it lifts your legs up. It lifts your head up. So I'm sitting here right now, completely relaxed, in a zero gravity position on my imitation Tempur-Pedic bed. So I'm doing great.
How wonderful.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I've been really enjoying your music. I shared it last night with my wife's uncle, who's really into it. He's a good sounding board. I like to share with him new music because he's kind of disillusioned with the state of music today, at least songwriting. And some of it's good, but most of it he thinks is kind of garbage. And I'm a little older, so I tend to agree with it. But, you know, I always have an open mind, and I like your style. It's very classic. It rocks. It's pop. It's all kinds of things. But it's really the songwriting that draws me to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let me.
And was he okay with it?
Oh yeah. Oh, he loved it. He loved.
Okay.
He loved your. I was telling him. I was sharing him with your previous album that you put out last year called Curve.
Yes.
Yeah. And Heels Overhead, and there's some other things I'd like to discuss. But I love that. I love the style. That's probably Dave Darling is the guy that you work with, right? To do this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I got to give him credit and some kudos, but does it sound exactly the way that it comes out of your head when he helps produce it?
Oh, no.
No.
That's the point, is that I just write songs and I sing them.
Mm-hmm.
And they metamorphosize into something, you know, in the studio. They become what, you know, who we are at that time, you know, in the moment. And it's not trying to be anything. It just becomes what it is, I guess. And over the years, the songs sometimes take on, you know, a different flavor. Some become, you know, an up-tempo can become a ballad can become an up-tempo. There's different versions. There's acoustic versions and electric versions. But the studio is really an encapsulation of that moment where I am in my life, I think, and where Dave is, you know, in his musical and creative life. And it comes together, and it's worked beautifully for many years.
And he's worked mainly with Brian Setzer and the Stray Cats. That's what I read about him. Anyway, he sounds like
he's worked with a ton of people.
Yeah, that's just one of the things that seems to stand out. That he's been around the block and he knows how to put together a sound. So I like that. So what do you? How do you? Would you classify your sound if people didn't know who you were? You know, are you folksy? Are you pop rock? What are you?
I am. I'm a little bit of everything. I'm a product of all the influences and sounds and life experiences that I had growing up. So I would say I'm influenced a lot by the 70s singer-songwriters, you know, like Carole King and James Taylor, Joni Mitchell. But I also listen to John Denver and Neil Diamond and Glenn Campbell on my parents', you know, car stereo growing up. I also love 90s music. I was really into Counting Crows and Ben Folds, Amy Mann, people like that, Tori Amos, Sheryl Crow.
I like that stuff.
So,
yeah,
a lot. You know, there's so much that I listen to, and I'm sure have these sounds have influenced the way I write. But I never tried to fit in. I always say, you know, I'm the center of the puzzle, and then I let everything in kind of fit in around me.
Yeah.
So that I'm not, I'm true to myself.
Yeah.
But whoever decides to embrace it, whatever genre, that's great. But yeah, a little folky rock, a little pop, a little roots, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a mishmash.
Yeah. The sound obviously is what hits you first, you know, and then you have to go deeper and then you find out what your lyrics are and everything. But, this is, are you making the kind of music that you really want to right now?
Right now? Absolutely. I've always favored real instrumentation, not synthesized sounds.
Yes, me too.
And now that I'm on Blue Avon Records, I'm able to have certain like put a pedal steel on a track, put a violin on a track. I never had a budget before because I was running my label from my own checkbook.
Uh-huh.
So now I have a little bit more flexibility, you know, I can get in advance towards hiring some amazing musicians who can add just another level to the song. It's great.
I like that. Yeah, this is, and you know what, I was also, I so much want to talk about all that stuff, but you'll find out that I bounce around from topic to topic. I'm not focused in any way.
Oh, that's fine. That's
but,
fine. With,
yeah,
I deal with ADD, you know.
Yeah. I you know, my songwriting partner and I from a while back, we still keep in touch. We used to call ourselves the ADD brothers, and we didn't want to insult people who actually really have that, but we kind of felt that we did because we couldn't, we multitasked all the time and couldn't focus. And
I think that's part of the creative personality, though.
You think?
I think that just comes along with it. Yeah. I'm that way in that I am unaware sometimes, especially when I'm in that creative mindset. I'm writing. I'll walk around the house, and apparently I open cupboards and never close them. and which just drives my husband crazy.
Yeah. Now, speak about your husband, since you talked about him. What kind of man is he, and when did you meet him and all that?
Oh, I met Chip in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also known as Ziggy Gnarly. He was in Dread Zeppelin for many years.
Oh, Dread Zeppelin. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So when I found out he was in Dread Zeppelin, I was like, oh, he's probably a stoner. but it turns out he's not. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't really care about that. But I didn't want him to necessarily marry that. And
well, come on, you're looking for a good quality. You're looking for a good quality guy to spend time with. You don't want.
Well, I'm saying it doesn't mean that you're not a good quality person because you decide to light up once in a while.
Yeah.
I just didn't want it on a daily basis in my life, and I don't know why I thought that somebody's name, the band name, was Dread Zeppelin, that it was that, but it's not. They're great guys, and
so
We met on Match.com.
Wow.
And
very good.
It worked. Match.com worked.
In 2004, you met that way?
2004. We got married in 2007. I would have married him much sooner.
Wow.
It took a while. And it's been great. It gets better and better.
So you must have... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, so the beautiful thing is I get to make music with the person that I love.
Wake me up. I think I'm dreaming on the sea. A pickup in a sidecar, blue eyes with a guitar, and a hand that can't strum. All you gotta do is play.
What's his instrument? What's his instrument of choice?
He's a drummer, but he also plays piano and he sings and he plays a little bit of everything. We have a studio and we make music together. It's very hard for us to write together. Very hard.
Yeah.
It's like the one time that we don't necessarily get along that great.
I know what you mean.
So we're really trying. We wrote our first song together, which is a kid's Christmas song. And our daughter Jet is singing it, and it's on the Blue Elan Christmas album, which is coming out next month.
Blue Elan is your the
Blue
label, right?
Blue Elan's my label, yeah. And they're putting out a Christmas record to benefit. I don't want to get this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like Children's Alliance or Alliance for something, it's for foster care. But I'm going to look that up, and I will tell you exactly
sure,
what the organization
sure.
is. But it's 100% of the proceeds go to charity.
Are we going to get to hear that this season then?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I love it.
A couple of my songs that I put out last year on my own holiday EP will be on it. That's the Christmas Is Here song and what's the other one? Oh, For Auld Lang Syne.
Ah, okay.
I
saw that online and didn't get to hear it. I'll have to check that out. So that's already been out. So we can.
Yeah, that's been out, but that'll be on the compilation as well as the song that Chip and I wrote for Jet.
Oh, that's cool. Cool. Yeah. Now, you said Jet. Now, Jet is spelled J-E-T-T-E, correct?
That's, yeah. Jet and Perry are my daughters.
And Perry. Yeah, you're so rock and roll with those names. I love it. You know, I told my wife, and she said, oh, those are cute. Yeah.
No, so we were listening to Paul McCartney's Jet when I was pregnant.
Really?
And Jet's like, Jet's a great name. We didn't even know if we were having a boy or a girl. I'm like, Jet is awesome. You know, so yeah, so we knew that that we were going to have a Jet. But then we found out we had twins, and we needed another name. And I didn't want to do Penny Lane, so she's Perry Lane.
Oh, okay. Sounds like you like Paul.
Oh, you know, Chip is a huge, huge Beatles fan. I came to the table late on that one.
Uh-huh, me too.
I was more of a Rolling Stones, you know, Tom Petty, kind of that was my obsession. But I have a complete appreciation for the Beatles, and Chip sat me down, put headphones on me one day, and gave me a lesson.
Oh, yeah. So. When I was in junior high, I kind of liked them, but I couldn't understand the fascination that some of the Beatlemaniac people had. I said, what are you going on and on and on about them for? You know, and I had to come to the party late too, because it's they're pretty complex. When Lennon and McCartney in specific, you know,
yeah,
they're simple, but yet they, you know, you dig deep and there's just so much in there that people can dissect their lyrics for hours and hours.
Exactly. And talk about classic songwriting. I mean, those songs will last forever.
They've inspired everybody, it seems like, you know.
Yeah.
Let me do something here so I can at least bring people up to speed on, you know, your press braggings are pretty cool. Just the first paragraph, I wanted to read it so that it covers a lot here. It says, you're born and raised in L.A. Cindy was trained at the acclaimed USC School of Drama. Wow. But quickly realized that there was enough, quote, drama, unquote, in real life. And the best part she could play was herself. So, so she wrote what is now 7 CDs. I didn't know you had that many. I thought you only had 5. That's great. You're pretty prolific then over the last 15 years or so, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, and added to cultures, the geography. Boy, it's so boring when I try to read something here. I'm sorry. there's
insert feeling.
What I'm trying to... So you were born in L.A. Where'd you grow up?
Born and raised in L.A. Grew up on top of Mulholland by the 405 freeway.
Oh, beautiful.
There's a song called 405.
Yeah. By the way, I like the songs. You're very L.A. in your songs. See You in L.A., you have 818, you have 405. There's a lot of L.A. flavor to the stuff that you've written, I noticed.
Well, you know, I write my life.
Yeah.
And this is where I am. So, you know.
What kind of parents?
My parents are still married. That's unique, isn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays.
My mom was born on the East Coast and lived in Arizona for a while, came out here. My dad's from Michigan. So, and they're, you know, very down-to-earth, very smart, but, you know, not non-pretentious. My dad is, you know, very much the American dream. He came from nothing, and he, you know, built up a successful law practice. He's retired now. My mom is a school teacher, and she now works in real estate. And they're wonderful, wonderful people. They're absolutely the opposite, you know, of what you would think of as an, you know, industry type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were very supportive of me growing up. They always said, we just want you to be happy. We just want you to be happy. That wasn't to say that they didn't, you know, encourage me to be very scholastic. And I think my dad would have liked it if I had become a doctor or a lawyer like him.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. And they eventually came around and realized, you know, okay, this is who she is and what she does. And, you know, they value my commitment to following my heart, and they support that. And they're at my shows, and I'm very, very blessed. I grew up in a great family. And my brother's a doctor, so he took over that.
Oh, so one of them at least went into some kind of...
People feel that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm so happy that your parents are still married. So are mine, and they're still around. So that's that's also something unique. I talk to so many people that have one parent left, or, you know.
Yeah, it is. And both my parents are cancer survivors.
As are you, right?
As am I. Yeah. My dad had it twice. My mom had it twice.
Oh, no.
And, and I hopefully once final laugh over done. Yeah.
When did they both go through their cancer?
My mom about 20 years ago, and my dad about 18. Wow. They got them. We got it right after each other. And then my mom just this last year had another little bout. She's doing great now.
Well, I'm so glad that you know that after all this time that they're still okay. And you say that they're well. And
yeah,
that's great. Does it ever frighten you that this is genetic? I don't know. I don't think that is.
It is genetic.
It's kind of coincidental that you know you had two and then now you do. I hope your brother's okay. You know.
Yeah, I mean we're both very vigilant, and because I came, you know, from two parents, both of my parents had breast cancer. Men get breast cancer too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because of that, I, you know, went the extra mile on screenings, and I always got an ultrasound with my mammogram. And when I started to notice that there was a little bit of asymmetrical changes in my breasts, I got an MRI. It was the MRI that found it.
Wow.
Yeah. It didn't show up. It didn't show up on the mammogram. It didn't show up on the ultrasound. These things were done in the same week. Only showed up in the MRI.
Yeah, it hits so many parts of you. You know, you said men get breast cancer. I know Peter Criss of Kiss, you know, he's very prominent in telling his story about that. And I don't think people realize that how serious this kind of stuff is, you know, because it sounds like something that shouldn't happen to a guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the problem is guys don't go get something like that checked out because they don't think that that could ever be possible. And it is. And unfortunately, it's on the rise, especially when you have the genetic predisposition for it. A lot of these cancers, they call them estrogen progesterone receptive positive. They're hormonally related, mm-hmm. and there's so many things in our environment and the things that we eat, things that we put on our body that have estrogenic effects. So when you're putting that much estrogen into your system, it can, you know, it can turn on or turn off a tumor suppressor, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
okay,
kind of crazy.
Yeah. I know we're supposed to be talking about music here, but I love talking.
You can talk about anything. I care.
Love talking about life and life and music. It's all intertwined with you. I noticed, and that's
well, it is. My life is my music. That's what I write about. So,
would you mind me talking about your cancer experience very quickly so that people understand?
Yeah.
You had it in what is it? 2 years ago?
2013. I was diagnosed in July of 2013.
Wow. So what when this happens to you? Probably at the point that your career is starting to gain momentum and pick up, you know, how did you push through that? And did you have a lot of support helping you and fans and family and things like that to help you?
Yes. I had a ton of support. I didn't keep my story to myself. I was very public about it. Mm-hmm. And my fans, my friends, my family, everybody they were basically cheerleaders. They got me, they helped get me through it. I wrote myself through a very dark time.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, I wrote continuously through my surgeries and a lot of, you know, obviously I was probably on some drugs at the time. No, I was on some drugs. Not
okay.
pain medication.
Okay.
But the stuff that came out became the record Curve.
Uh-huh.
And during that time, I was having some difficulties with my insurance company. And a man reached out to me on Facebook who was an entertainment attorney who had been following my career for some time. And he was also on the other side of the deal that was offered to me when I won a music reality show for NBC called Star Tomorrow.
Okay.
But I ended up not taking that prize. Mm-hmm. And he was aware of that. And he was also doing some insurance work with his law firm at the time. So he said, you know, can I help you with this? And I said, there's no way I cannot afford to hire an attorney to help me with my insurance company right now because I'm out $40,000 in medical bills.
Wow.
He said, no, just come in. Let me talk to you. So we went through my problems with the insurance company and he explained to me that I could do a class action, but that it would take a lot of my time and a lot of my energy. And he said, what do you really want to do? I said, I want to make this record. I want to finish the record. And he told me that he was considering starting a label called Blue Alarm Records. And he told me about it. And he'd been an angel for Curve already. And my angels are it's kind of like a Kickstarter, but I never went through Kickstarter. I've been doing this, you know, for a long time and did fan-funded records. So he was part of that. And he'd always supported me and put his money where his mouth is, you know, as you say. And when he told me about Blue Alon Records, and he's such a kind, generous soul who loves music and loves my music, it just seemed like a perfect fit. And everything kind of moved forward from there. I finished Curve. I put it out through Blue Alon, and his, the president and founder's name is Kirk Passage, a wonderful man. And Blue Alon Records has grown considerably since it started at that point in 2013. And I don't know if you saw there's a billboard
app
that they took out last week, and you can see all the wonderful people that are associated with the label. And it's all about collaboration. So, you know, people write together, you know, they bring in artists, videographers, graphic designers, all sorts of people are becoming part of this team, and it's really super exciting.
Wow.
Something really wonderful came out of my experience with cancer. I was able to take my focus off of, you know, any depression and fear, and just funnel it into music. And, you know, that's not to say that those things don't creep back in, but Blue Alon keeps me so busy that it really helps in that area.
So wonderful. And some of us as songwriters are jealous, at least those who try to write lyrics of you, who can channel that, you know, that angst or, you know, the feelings that you're having and put them, you know, you can interpret them into a song as beautifully and eloquently as you do. I think that's quite a talent. Can that be something that you can sort of guide somebody to do if they're having trouble? I mean, do you know anybody that's having trouble doing that and you've been able to tell them, here's what you do?
You know, I would guess the word would be like consult, you know, consulted people when people ask me, but you have to find your own voice as a writer. Somebody can't tell you how to write.
No.
And yes, there are, you know, I'm going to put this in quotation, rules for some songs, you know, if you want to like fit into a format, but if you want to, you know, be true to yourself, just write from your heart, write from your experience, write your truth, and you know, for heaven's sake, put a hook in there.
Yeah, and
you know,
you do.
Put something in there that they're going to remember, and that will help.
Oh, thanks. Okay, Cindy, I'm having so much fun talking to you. I'm rambling on. Let me take a quick break and bring it right back. Thank you, Cindy.
Yeah.
This is Cindy Alexander I'm talking to, who has an album currently, American Girl, that she just released. American Girl, which is, that's the title track. It's actually a Tom Petty cover, which is the title track. Really good. Really good version of the American Girl, I must say. I've never heard it done in quite that, you know, in that marching ballad type of thing. It's very nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
The whole album is nice. You have to listen to it in its entirety. 6-song EP plus 3 acoustic tracks. And you can find all the information you want at CindyAlexander.com. And I believe she'll have links on how to purchase the album, probably through Blue Alon, the record label that is supporting her. And I support Cindy, too. I hope that you will. You got to check her out because there is more of Cindy in the next episode. Yes, she is that wonderful. And until next time, this is Dean Olson, the Strong Writer on the radio, saying, let's all put our best pens forward, just like Cindy, and be strong writers together. Go forth, have a wonderful weekend. God bless, take care, and we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye now.
You've been listening to Strong Writer on the radio with your host, Dean Olson, on the amazing Women and Men of Power, world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.